I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm glad that you mentioned that. I doubt that there's a rougher industry than the mining industry. I've been in it for 35 years. And when you go into a coal mine, it's not on the beaten path. Many times it's 30, 35 miles off the main road. Not a lot of people are there. So there's pornography everywhere. There's calendars everywhere that leave nothing to the imagination. Am I supposed to quit Fairmont Supply? I don't live in a monastery. I'm not a monk. But what do I do when I get there? And many years ago, I had to determine before the Lord, those things are things that I do not look at. I flee. I can't go fix that coal mine. I can't fix the pornography that's hanging up there. It's not even my right as an individual to do it. But it is my responsibility as a Christian to flee, to not look at, to not be involved in. And the Lord doesn't ask us to do something we can't do. In the position that I'm in here at Grove City, people come to me for everything that's wrong. I know you know that. And I had a brother that approached me yesterday because there was a young brother and a young sister in the pool. And he was picking her up and grabbing her and throwing her up in the air and touching her in places that were absolutely inappropriate. And the question was asked to me, are these people engaged? I'm saying it freely because I have no idea who it was. No idea. But I believe we understand what Emil is talking about. There is that behavior that is appropriate for us as Christians. And I'm telling you, if I do certain things in public, I don't think you have to use your big imagination to find out what will happen in private. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith. This is not saving faith. This is not the faith that brought us to Christ, but this is the faith that enables us to live for Christ. This is what we need. This is what you need in that circumstance that you're in. It's what I needed. Lord, help me to close my eyes to those things when I'm in that circumstance, not to listen. They say, excuse me for my French. I say, you know what? You're talking to the wrong one. I can't excuse what the things that you've said. I've told many people that. I'm a Christian. And then you find out pretty soon that they just don't say those things in front of you. That's one thing. But I'll tell you what else you'll find. When there's a difficulty in their lives, you are the person that they will come to. You see, this is the way the Lord uses us. We're coming down here that the servant of the Lord. That's what we are. We're servants for Him. We're not servants in a monastery. We're not going to be in Grove City but a couple more days. We're going to be back in this world again. And people are going to look at you and I and ask us. Someone read that verse for us. A reason of the hope that is in us.
If I could just bring some encouragement to us. Well, some exhortation, then encouragement. I mean, we see Paul has, in his writings, we see he has a similar mind about these things. We see that he tells us in 2 Timothy to flee from youthful lusts and temptations. And then we go to Corinthians. If you guys could turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we've been speaking about, don't think you can handle it. We're still in our fleshly body. There's nothing, we have no right to even think we can tolerate or even, sort of fire guard against this temptation and this sin that is always around us. We need to flee immediately. And we're told by Paul, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Sorry, verse 12. Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And then, but he takes a turn right after this. He gives us encouragement. And I think, not that it's a bad thing, but we've been exhorted a lot today. We've been challenged a lot. But let's take some encouragement from it too. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So let's be encouraged by that. Let's be exhorted by what we've heard today. And let's also remember One thing that these brothers have always reminded us of, that sin always costs more than we're willing to pay.
Just a verse for you to write down without comment. Job chapter 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? These are good verses for us to memorize and to know. There are many things that are put before us. They're on the sides of buses and trains, and they're everywhere. But if we make this covenant with our eyes, I will not look upon a maid. These are realities, young men and young women. But I think the wonderful thing is that the things that we can follow after. And I believe Brother John had us on this thought that when we are a vessel that has been purged, you know, it can be an empty vessel that, in a sense, there's a vacuum there, and it's going to be filled by something. And the Lord wants us to follow after these notable things: righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them, and also with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's where we want to be, young people. We want to be those who have pure hearts. And we're going to find that there are others who are also following on righteousness, faith, love, peace, and they too have a pure heart. And it says to us, but, you know, there must be about four or five buts in this section here. Some would say that Paul has a tendency for run-on sentences. But it's important.
I appreciate that, because that's what I do all the time.
And it's important because it's giving us these contrasts. It says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they breed strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You see, these are the qualities that we want to have. We don't want the things that are in the world, the lusts, or the failure, the defilement, the association with evil. We don't want those things to mark us. What we want the Lord to look at and see in the brethren and our neighbors is to see young men and young women that are following the right things, that are not getting caught up in foolish and undisciplined questions that have no edification at all. We want to be those that have gentleness, those that are apt to teach, that in a day to come, you are skillful enough that you're able to teach others. But if we spend our time in our youth pursuing lusts, our hearts being carried away, being defiled, not following righteousness, loving contentious discussions, what we'll find is that we're not going to be those that are available, that are fit for the Master's use. And again, young people, we want to emphasize, as you sit in a room with 129 or so young people, you cannot think that this is for someone else. The message is for me as the individual. So that in 10 years, add 10 years to your age, to say in 10 years, I want to be someone who is a clean vessel. I want to be someone who is in the position to be used of the Lord. I want to be someone who is a servant that is not striving, you know, that is not fighting all the time. I want to be one who is seen as gentle to all men, apt to teach, patience. These are the characteristics that you should have a desire for in your own spiritual life.